Everybody, welcome to a Friday Full Time Bulldog Out. Ben Mahore is always alongside with Dave to the three, and that's our good buddy Phil Benatti. 2 hours of his fine show behind the bench, and then he and Paul Metters head off to Collegian Stadium tonight. The Division I AA Championship, Clovis and Central East, ought to be a terrific game. 6:30 the pre, 7 o'clock they'll kick it off. I'll tell you all about the schedule later on. As always, on a Friday, we talked to Brian Panish, and the sponsor is nice enough to let me move the schedule around. So as we bring Brian up to talk Bulldog football, I want to thank Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply. I'd be Joe Cruz, Ed Dunkel, Precision Civil Engineering, the local operators at KFC and Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman, and everybody at Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. I'll tell you about all a little bit later on. And speaking of Lee's, on the Lee's Air hotline right now at 559-320-1430, it is our great friend, the best lawyer on the planet, Mr. Top Dog himself. And I was just mentioning the Jorge, the guy that has taken the place of Carmen Sandiego. It is now, where in the world is Brian Panish? On a week-to-week basis, we never know. We'll find out if he's back home in L.A., still in Hawaii. Maybe he's gone back to Ireland. I'm not sure where he is, or Scotland, or he's in Vermont. Let's find out. Let's bring up Brian Panish right now. BP, how you doing, and where are you, my friend?
I'm doing great. I'm in Los Angeles, and getting ready for Thanksgiving week, and wishing everyone a happy Thanksgiving, and looking forward to the big Bulldog game. I'm very worried, but I expect a lot.
Well, we have talked all week, Brian, about what you and I touched upon last Friday, which is the Bulldogs not necessarily to the full extent being able to control their own destiny, but pretty close. So let's start with this, the premise that has taken place the last couple of weeks. If Fresno State can get it done tomorrow night, 7:30 against Utah State, and the following Saturday in San Jose, also at 7:30, do you think, given the shuffling in this conference week to week, that that will be good enough to put them in the title game, whether it's at Snapdragon or somewhere else? What's your hunch right now?
I would say yes. I think they have a good chance. It's a big if, though. Utah State, and we won't even get into San Diego because we just want to survive this week. But Utah State's been playing great. They got a great coach. They got a really good quarterback. It's going to be a tough game for the Bulldogs. They're going to have some offense because Utah State's going to score. Even though we got the number two offense scoring against the number two defense, I expect the quarterback to make some plays and score some points.
Well, that is just the issue that we've discussed all week, whether it was with Paul or Jackson or anybody else, and that is the last 3 weeks you have put a quarterback in play in Carson Conklin with the main objective to not have your quarterback make mistakes to get you beat. They haven't asked Carson to win games. They've asked him not to lose games. Now, San Diego State was dominant here, but their offense wasn't great, and the Bulldogs were within two possessions going to the fourth quarter. Clearly, the following two games, the Bulldog defense has dominated. Now that you have two better offenses heading your way, this one this week and then San Jose, up in San Jose, Brian, can you get away with it? Can you get away with a quarterback who is just there to not make mistakes? I'm not criticizing it. I'm saying they're not asking Carson to win games. Are they going to have to ask the quarterback, either this week or next, to win the football game for them?
Well, if we run the ball 49 times, I think we're going to win every game. But, yeah, yeah. I think I notice he's gone from what? 32 yards to 50-some yards to 80-some. He's getting close to the 100 yards a game. He made some better throws last week. Again, he had some drops. But, I think he's going to have to step up and make a few plays for us to win.
It's all predicated upon the defense you can afford. As you're well aware, you're an outstanding defensive player back in the 70s. You can afford three and outs. You can afford to play the punting game, the field position game, and shortening the game if your defense is not allowing the other team to dent the scoreboard much. Now the challenge comes, and you bring up, you know, the quarterback, and we talked about Barnes. He is a problem. He is a lowercase version of Josh Allen, and that he's big, he's strong, he can throw, and he can run. How different is this challenge, Brian, than what this defense has seen the last couple of weeks?
Well, I think it's a huge challenge. I think our quarterback played better than the Wyoming quarterback. That's saying a lot last week. And really we haven't faced for a long time, maybe the Kansas quarterback, but not many quarterbacks this year have the multi-levels of talent that this quarterback, Lawrence, has that we've faced.
Well, we know the Bulldogs will come in run first. We've talked about it all year that teams want to load the box against Fresno State. Is there any hope that any club you play the rest of the way, whether it's these two and then San Diego, for instance, in the Snapdragon for the title game, whatever, in a bowl game, that people are going to respect this passing game, or is that too much to ask? And I'm going to ask you one more time, how much of it is on the wide receivers in addition to what has not been a real effective quarterbacking situation, no matter who was out there? When Warner was there, more yards, more turnovers. Now less yards, less turnovers, but still they don't scare anybody with the passing game. Can they continue to get away with that for the rest of the year?
Well, I mean, I know Utah State, they got a great defensive coordinator. They're going to be really pressing on the line. They're going to be loading the box and making Fresno State throw the ball to beat him. And he hasn't shown that yet, although he did make a few throws yesterday or last week. But I'm waiting to see him start running a little bit. You know, when we played him and he's at Sac State, he killed us on the run. He was a good running quarterback. He doesn't seem to be looking to do that. It would be nice to see him break off some of those runs, as Warner did when they're playing man coverage and dropping all the runners, and Warner did make some plays on the scramble. And
It's obvious from the outset that Conklin has tried to tailor his game to exactly what Ensign Company want, and it has worked. I mean, they lost to San Diego State, but they were in the football game. That was the idea. They couldn't generate any offense. The last 2 weeks, they've done exactly what they wanted to do, but they did it against two less than dynamic offenses, particularly once Maddox was out for Boise State. This is an interesting test. And the good news, bad news, Brian, of this last week, the bad news is, as we talked during the week, Utah State not only could have, but should have beaten UNLV. They had a point blank field goal. They had two opportunities, and a guy who hadn't missed all year, 10 for 10 going into the game, misses three field goals. UNLV escapes. That hurts Fresno State if they ended up a tie with UNLV. But it also took Utah State out of things. Do you think we see anything but 100% from the Aggies coming in here? Is it just in the college game, not the way the pros are, that you tend to think about what got away? I guess what I'm asking is, any possibility Utah State laments last week that really took them out, and it means they're less than formidable this week because of it?
No, I think you're going to see a better effort from them. There's a bad taste left in their mouth, and there's still, Tony, is an outside mathematical chance.
Well, very outside.
I was very excited yet last week, having been in Hawaii, to actually see my Hawaii Rainbows hammer San Diego State. Amazing.
Well, yeah, they made the Aztecs look certainly beatable, because they not only beat them from the national anthem all the way through, which, by the way, does beg the question, and we certainly referenced it tonight on FS1, 7:30, you've got a critically important game, Hawaii heading to Allegiant to play UNLV. The consensus is, if this game were in the islands, there's no doubt Hawaii would win it. Brian, can the Rainbow Warriors, who don't necessarily travel great, can they show up in Vegas? Because I believe they're a better team. But can they show up tonight and beat UNLV with the rigors of the road that is really tough for Hawaii?
Well, let's put it this way, Tony. Hawaii has come and won this year at Air Force and at Colorado State.
Yes.
And Air Force, we know, is not an easy place to play. And we saw how the Bulldogs did at Colorado State. So that shows that they can win on the road. The quarterback, I believe, is a left-handed miniature Jimmy Chang version with the same offense. And I think one thing that people may not be aware of, that the Ninth Island, I believe they call it, with a huge Hawaiian Polynesian population, is Hawaii, and they have a number of players that are from Las Vegas, particularly coming from Bishop Gorman High School, including the quarterback. So I expect Hawaii to have a big turnout of fans. I've seen it at the Mountain West, at the Big West tournament in Vegas, basketball, seeing Hawaii drawing the largest crowd. And I believe Hawaii has a shot. I think it's going to be hard for them, but I would not be shocked to see Hawaii beat UNLV. You know, it would be a hell of a year for Timmy Chang. I think he's got, what, 7 wins now, Tony?
Well, yeah, and they're still looking, I'm sure, at that Fresno State game, that the two-point conversion, you know, had they made that, I don't know if the Bulldogs survive overtime. As it turned out, Fresno State made the play and won, and that's why the Bulldogs are huge Rainbow Warrior fans tonight. The other game, since you brought up Air Force, tomorrow in Colorado Springs, it is senior night or late afternoon, when it's 5 o'clock start there, 4 o'clock here. But you've got New Mexico going into Air Force, and again, the Bulldogs need a New Mexico loss. They finish against San Diego State and Albuquerque. You'd like to see them lose. I think Air Force likely wins this game tomorrow. How do you feel about that?
Well, you know, I want to tell you something, Tony. When Fresno State was looking for coaches, and there were a number of them out there, 3 of them that kind of rose to the top. Number one was Bronco. We know what a great coach he is, and Utah State is a great fit for him. Obviously, Coach Entz was in the mix, and he was hired. But one of the outside guys who Fresno State had been looking at earlier in another position was Jason Eck. Jason Eck from South Dakota State, where he's the offensive coordinator, with the national championship, the University of Idaho, to New Mexico. He's doing a fantastic job. I think he's the coach of the year. But followed closely behind by Bronco Entz and Timmy Chang, have all had, and of course, you don't overlook Lewis, but some of those coaches that come in and turn those programs around have done a great job. So I would never underestimate Jason Eck to go in there and win. I mean, he has them going to New Mexico. I don't know if you've seen, the attendance is rising. The fans are believing in him. They have a good fan base when they're winning, and he's having, I think, one of the best years in New Mexico football in as long as anyone can remember. So I'm amazed how well they're playing. They lost their quarterback to Utah and other players, and he's just done a fabulous job, and I would never, ever underestimate his ability to win that game, their team. They're playing great for him right now.
Right. Look, and I agree, Brian. I'm not saying, when I say likely win Air Force, I'm saying that for a couple of reasons. One is the Air Force team we saw at San Jose State a couple of weeks ago shows that Air Force can, over 4 quarters, be as they've been over the years, very, very difficult when they're running the football well. The other thing is the emotion is senior day, senior night, if you prefer, in Colorado Springs, which is as emotional as any because of what those guys go through, as we've talked to true student athletes, no doubt about it, at the academy. But also, New Mexico, to your point, they drew almost 30,000 in Albuquerque for an afternoon game last week. That was a big deal for them. The crowd was excited. It was in the game, and it was against the Colorado State team. They should have dominated. But in the fourth quarter, that was a 10-10 game, and the Rams had a chance with the football to take a lead late when the turnover turned the game around, an INT that went the other direction and really swung the whole game. So I'm just wondering, as good a job as Eck has done, if maybe the long season is catching up with Mexico a little bit. I'm not saying they can't win. They may win. I just right now really like Air Force's chances. And I know the Bulldogs would love to see, Brian, what almost happened last week had actually come to fruition, because said UNLV should have lost last weekend. Colorado State could have beaten New Mexico. If the Bulldogs can beat Utah State and the other two do lose this weekend, it puts Fresno State in terrific position. All they have to do is take care of business in San Jose, which I know has a 2013 familiar ring to it, right? Yeah, before I know where you're headed.
I mean, well, we were already in the championship game. It was, you know,
that's correct. Against Utah State,
to a lower level, and we got into a bowl game. Yes,
but there was a lot more at stake. I mean, let's be straight about it, Brian. There was more at stake than just the championship when the Bulldogs lost that game 62-52 the day after Thanksgiving in 2013. I mean, you know, they were already in.
You could say this. Hawaii went to Air Force and won.
Yes, but I think
Air Force is playing better now. They're definitely playing better after last week. They got the system down. They're difficult to beat at home. I'm sure it's going to be cold. I haven't even looked at the weather. But it's going to be, New Mexico's clearly going to be the underdog. But I just have some feeling that New Mexico seems to be, have it all going for them right now. The coach seems to have the community really involved, and the players seem to be truly believing in the coach and what he's been able to do. You know, they played at Michigan. They didn't do that bad at Michigan first game of the year.
No, they have played well above expectation, and I will say this. The one thing that Fresno State does not want to see, Brian, is San Diego State and New Mexico playing a game next weekend, the final weekend of the regular season, where no matter who wins, yes, no matter who wins or who loses, Fresno State is going to find itself likely odd man out. That's what you don't want. You don't want that situation. So you really would like to see it resolved now before you get that damned if you do, damned if you don't. Now, all the Bulldogs can do, all they can do, is win two games at 7:30 the next two weekends, and then we'll see what happens. As far as what's going on next week, you are correct. You have that game being played on a Friday, so you'll know that one. And then the UNLV-Nevada game, which could be critical, will be at 6 o'clock on Saturday. So basically, talking about a week from this weekend, you'll be at halftime of the Fresno State-San Jose State game or thereabouts when that game ends up in Reno. I would hate for the Bulldog season to rely upon a win by the Wolfpack, no matter what the rivalry might be in state. So last weekend, we hope, is just a bump in the road and not one you look back at. I'll ask you this, though, Brian. If the Bulldogs can get to a title game, whether it's at Snapdragon or whatever, I mean, it could be at home, but that's a long shot. Is this team good enough, as currently constructed, Fresno State, good enough to win the Mountain West title?
They got to get better the next two games, and they got to win them, and I'll let you know them. But, you know, Tony, I just looked. I'm not surprised that New Mexico is favored in that game at Air Force.
Well, they have a lot more to play for, Brian, and they have a better record, sure.
I mean, but Air Force is playing better. But that I'm going there. I'm going to New Mexico. I hate to say it. But I just have to. Now, they still have to play at San Diego State, so.
Well, that game's in Albuquerque. They have to play in Albuquerque the following week.
Wow.
But, you know.
Oh, and if, geez, you know, that's a Friday after Thanksgiving?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, that's a game that's on the 28th.
They'll have a huge crowd for that game.
Well, if they win at Air Force, there's no doubt they will. And, of course, San Diego State still has to host San Jose State this weekend. And Bulldogs, we've talked about the Tedford approach over and over again that Teddy used to talk about when we bring up these scenarios. And he would say, we're in our submarine. We are below the surface. So all that noise above the surface, we don't hear. I know Matt Entz would like to say that. But as you and I have discussed, Brian, in this day and age of social media, it's highly unlikely that you have a team that isn't aware of exactly what the repercussions are, particularly for the seniors. I want to ask you about Senior Day. I know it's been a long time now, pushing up on 50 years since Senior Day at Bulldog Land. No, I know. We got another 4 years or so, but let's just say this. We're beyond 45 and closing in on 50. What do you remember
about that? Let's stick with a long time.
Yeah, okay, well, again, once more, I am older than you by either 2, 3, or 6 months. I'm not sure because your birth date evidently keeps changing on me. That having been said, what do you remember about Senior Day for you at Radcliffe?
I remember our Senior Day was against Utah State. The head coach had been fired the week before, so he was a lame duck coach. I remember they had Eric Kipple, who I'd played against in high school and an all-star.
Yep.
They had Rulon Jones, who's the number one pick of the Broncos. And they had Craig Bradshaw, Terry's brother, was the backup quarterback.
Right.
And they were allowed to come into our conference, their first year in the conference. They also had Rick Parrish, who played for the Denver Broncos, and another receiver. And they were allowed to have transfers immediately eligible. And they won the conference. We played on the day after Thanksgiving at Bulldog Stadium, and my mom, my family came to the game. It was a great, great experience, and we lost the game. And at that time, I think I was ready for the season to end. We didn't have a great year. after having done well, you know, years before. And it was emotional to know, you know, it's probably the last game we're ever going to play. And the fans were very, very supportive. And the Bulldogs, they put on a great deal for the seniors on the last day and the families. And they make it a special thing. And it is a special thing. And they've devoted so much of their time and their life to the program, to the university. And they should have a special day and be acknowledged and recognized for everything they've done and the sacrifices they've made and the investment in the program that they've all laid out. And I think there are 20 seniors. And I think with a first-year coach, it's critical for the seniors to take ownership and leadership. And I think they've done a pretty good job of that.
Last two things for you, Brian. Of course, we'll talk. I don't know if we're talking next Friday or not. I'll find out from Jorge whether we're doing the show after Thanksgiving or not. But I did want to ask you, at that time, and we've talked about it, came to play for Sweeney, Jim leaves, you have Padilla there. Then, of course, after the fact, Jim comes back. Could you at all have foreseen what has happened in the way of upgrading of the schedule, of the stadium that's in play that certainly was not back in the 70s? Could you see any of this in the murky crystal ball back in that particular time when you were an undergrad?
I could, Tony. I believed in Coach Sweeney, and Coach Sweeney was going around preaching about the sleeping giant, and he was waking up the sleeping giant, and he was going to bring big-time football to Central Valley, and he was going to upgrade the facilities. And everything he did, it came true, and Coach Hill followed him, and Tedford and others, and many, many great players have gone there. They have a great tradition, a great reputation. So I did believe that that could happen, and it has come to fruition. And I believe skies are limit. I believe the Bulldogs, getting through this, navigating through the NIL piece, can still be competitive and can be in the top of their conference, a new conference venture that they're going into. And I think they have a good administration in place right now. And I think things are looking good for the Bulldogs. And we have surpassed the Vegas predicted win total for the year. So we've obviously outperformed the critics.
Yeah, well, there's no doubt about that. And also one sidebar, both of us really pulling for Henry Eller to get through the Veterans Committee. I don't know what the politics are there.
I got a text from his son today. I don't know. Last year, two years ago, when we opened up the California High School Hall of Fame, I was involved, and I was giving a speech at the Rose Bowl. And before it, I look across the room, and who do I see smiling but Henry Eller? And it was just with that great smile, and we hadn't seen him for a number of years. And during my speech, I said that I'm starting the campaign to get Henry Eller in the NFL Hall of Fame, because the director of the Hall of Fame was there at the thing. And maybe that's coming to fruition. I sure hope so. It's certainly well-deserved for outstanding Bulldog. And you know, you got Devontae and all these other guys, but I'd still probably put Henry Eller as my number one all-time Fresno State receiver.
Well, and we've certainly had the conversations with Henry from the time he was at Hoover High School and right through Fresno State, that and he was really honest about it, and I respect him so much because of it. I had asked him at one point when Jerry Rice was going hog wild with the 49ers, and Henry was in, as you know, a completely different offense, a run-oriented offense with your beloved Rams, and one where he didn't have stability at quarterback. Yet Henry Eller, not only a great special teams player, great track and field athlete, by the way, too, but also a terrific punt returner and on all those things that made him a multifaceted threat. And I asked him flat out, Brian, I said, watching what was going on across the sideline twice a year when he played the 49ers, did he ever wonder what if? And he said, yeah, to be honest with you, yes. I wondered what it would have been like if I, Henry Eller, would have been in that offense. And had he been in the 49er offense at the time, Brian, he might have set the marks that Rice has set. Not to diminish Jerry at all. He's a great, great player. Maybe the GOAT, according to NFL Network, at this point, all around. But you tell me what happens if Henry is in Rice's position with the 49ers.
No, there's no question. He's number eight right now, all-time career yardage. 9 seasons over 1,000 yards. Keep in mind, he also had to hold out. The Rams wouldn't pay him. Georgia football.
That's correct.
So he wasn't getting paid. He was holding out. He, I think, held the record at least one time on single-season punt return average, maybe career. And he did a lot of great things, and he was a true pro and had many, many years in the NFL. I look at some of the players that are up there, Ken Anderson and Roger Craig, and there's a number of good players, but I think Henry's right up there, and if he has the right support, he should get in. That would be a fantastic thing to see that happen.
No doubt. Along with
and
Ray
not
Berry.
The more deserving guy in the world. The most humble.
No. Absolutely.
Guy like you'd ever meet.
Well, again, along with Raymond Berry, probably the greatest route runner, an absolute artist in his ability to run routes. That's why he was such a coveted assistant coach, the ability to show wide receivers how you make cuts, how you get yourself open, how you run a precise route, how you make yourself available to the quarterback, all the things that people don't see necessarily when they're watching games, but the guys that are immersed in the sport certainly know it. Brian, one last
thing. He's a true bulldog, and, you know, he was there at the game when Coach Tedford was put in the Ring of Fame or Hall of Fame, and
yep.
Henry was there.
Yep.
He came in from Texas.
And, again, a native son, like I said, a very proud, proud Hoover Patriot, that's for sure.
Right across
now,
the street from Bulldog Stadium.
Yes, it is. Now, that's why the old Battle of Barstow was always so fascinating between Bullard and Hoover. Now they play a little bit different level of football because Hoover, McLean, and the rest of them are kind of in one area, and Bullard moves back and forth between higher levels and back down again. But Henry has been a great, great guy, and obviously a Hall of Fame-worthy athlete, that's for sure. We'll see what happens. One last thing I want to lean on you here, legal-wise, your lawyering. This situation with adjudication may be put off until 2027 with these poaching fees, whatever. I wanted to ask you this, Brian. I know the commitments that have been made by the holdovers staying in the Mountain West, but and I don't know precisely what monies have or have not been exchanged. I don't know what monies the Mountain West has right now. Do you see anybody, UNLV, Air Force, anybody using this opportunity to somehow get out of the Mountain West right now? And it doesn't necessarily mean going to the PAC, but to the AAC or whatever, if the money is not exchanged. What is your feeling about this if they haven't been paid yet but agreed to payment?
Well, I think if UNLV doesn't get paid the money that they're entitled to, they need it badly, and they could be looking to move. So I think that is a possibility, and I think, you know, they're holding, obviously, Fresno State money and basketball money, and you know, they have
right.
money right now, but they're not paying it out as much as those schools want. So we'll see. I think it's a problem.
And if that were to happen, what happens to the – I guess they still – backfill in the Mountain West. I mean, could they make a move as quickly, realistically, as the fall of 2026, or is giving scheduling, is that not a possibility?
I mean, I think the schedulers can be creative and work it out. I mean, wouldn't you, if you had an opportunity to get them in the conference, that additional team they're looking for, you can make the schedule work. It might not be so great at the beginning, but I think they can make it work.
Well, Air Force may be looking to join Navy and Army. That may happen. The bygones be bygones. This topic about UNLV has happened over and over again. Brian, I know you're a huge proponent on the ninth team. It makes scheduling easier because then you can go 4-4 and have 8 conference games. If you were at the head of the pyramid right now with Teresa Gould and everybody, would you allow bygones to be bygones? Would you allow UNLV a third bite at the apple if this happens?
Yes, I would, for sure. I just try to make a deal and make the conference better. And the commissioner, her job is the best interest of the league. And I believe, based on where we're at right now, it would be in the best interest of the PAC to have UNLV in the conference, in the story, if they can get it done.
Yeah,
I don't think
it's going to happen.
People would disagree with that.
No, I don't disagree with it. I don't think it's going to happen. I think that they are going to stay the course. I've told you in talking to administrators in the sports area of UNLV, they are furious, still furious, at their own administration for, quote-unquote, selling them out for a paycheck to help to balance other problems at the university and blowing a chance to move forward in the long term. So I understand their feeling. I just don't know that you have a university president and in a hierarchy there that is willing to take the step they need to take. I think it'd be in the best interest of UNLV and ultimately probably in the best interest of the PAC. But I just don't see it happening. But it is fascinating that they continue to put off this poaching, which you believe nothing's going to come of the poaching fees anyway, right?
Eventually, there'll be some resolution. It's just taking time. And the lawyer's trying to get paid.
Yeah,
I think the commissioner for the Mountain West is making it difficult for the teams that left.
Right. Yeah, you're right about that. In the Mountain West,
I mean, in all aspects, including scheduling the referees.
Yeah, well, you know, again, that's the theory we're going to see in the next couple of weeks, holdovers versus those that are on their way out and what may happen. If you have a conference title game between two on their way out, then you're not going to have to worry about it. If you have a conference title game between one holdover and one on their way out, then we might see something very interesting at the playoff.
Yeah,
they're
going to look for some Craig Thompson loophole to give Boise the home game.
That's the hair strikes again. All right, listen, Paisan, I appreciate it. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving, you and the entire family. I will let you know whether we have a show next Friday or not. We'll definitely reconvene in a couple of weeks, no matter what. Have a great one. Enjoy
right.
the game,
Happy
Brian.
Thanksgiving to everyone. God bless. Tony, have a great one. Take care.
You too, Brian. Take care, my great friend. I'll see you. All right, guys. Brian Panish, I tell you what, want to take a break, come back, tell you about the schedule, get it set up for Phil. He has 2 hours of his fine show behind the bench, and then he is headed to Collegian Stadium tonight as we'll decide the divisional championship in 1AA with Deegan Rose and Clovis playing Central East. Ought to be a terrific game. They'll have the kick at 7, the pregame at 6:30 with Phil and Paul Meadows. I'll tell you all about the schedule coming off the break. As on this Friday, the Bulldog Hour continues on Central Valley Sports Leader 1430 ESPN. About 15 minutes ago, we still handed out to Phil. It did go behind the bench. Normally, 3 hours will be 2 today as he heads out to Collegian tonight for the Division 1AA Championship. Clovis and Central East, 6:30 the pre, 7 o'clock. They'll kick it off at Collegian with Phil and Paul Meadows. I'll get to the entirety of the schedule, courtesy of Ed Dunkel and his fine business, Precision Civil Engineering, in just a moment. First, want to remind you, if you're on the way home a little bit earlier on a Friday, or you're maybe planning to leave at 5 o'clock and want to grab dinner on your way out, best way to go about it right now is stop by and see our friends at the local KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman for a limited time, and it's still going on right now. It started in October. It's a throwback to the late 90s at KFC. The classic honey barbecue flavor is on everything. Chicken sandwiches, tenders, and of course, those crispy golden pieces you know and love. The 2, 3, and 4-piece meals are on sale right now. One more time, the chicken sandwich is just $3.99. Also, the deal on Tuesday still in place. It's been there for a good long while, and that is the $10 8-piece bucket or tenders. The Wednesday, $5.99 country fried steak. Chicken pot pie is back right now. That's also terrific. And everything right now in regard to the sandwiches, the tenders, and the chicken itself with the original honey barbecue sauce, which is sweet, savory, and back for a limited time. And at KFC, we always say it, it's been applicable since I was a kid, and that's a long, long time ago. Trust me, KFC, it's finger licking good, that's for sure. And if you stop by those local KFC operators in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman, tell them thanks for being part of the solution for the situation at Fresno State, NIL-wise, and also everything with other athletics across this great valley. Other reminders, mentioned Ed Dunkel, Precision Civil Engineering. They bring the schedule to you every day. Planning, land surveying, civil engineering, landscape architecture, construction management. It's all there under one roof, 449-4500 or precisioneng.net for more information. Ed, a proud graduate of Fresno State and the Lyles College of Engineering there on campus. Always the goal to unify athletics and academics to provide more funding resources to students. It's worked beautifully and has been a great benefactor for his university and a lot of those grads from the Lyles College of Engineering head right over to Precision to work for Ed and everybody there, and we commend Ed for everything he does for Fresno State. As far as the schedule goes, mentioned the kickoff tonight at Collegian, 6:30 to pre, 7 o'clock, Deegan Rose in Clovis. Of course, Deegan will get a great shot at Fresno State coming up because it appears to be a wide-open quarterbacking competition that we're going to see in the spring through the fall in the 2026 season, the first one in the pack. But business in hand tonight, a really good, and I do mean really good, Central East team at Collegian. That will be a 7 o'clock kick for the Division I AA championship and the state playoffs after that. So look forward to that one. The Lakers and the Sharks over the weekend, of course, and the main focus at this time of year for us, football and more football. We have college games over the weekend, but the National Football League coverage for us, Week 12, started last night with Josh Allen and the Bills losing in Houston, and now our local teams, meaning the ones of local interest, 49ers, Raiders, and Rams take center stage, and of course everything through Westwood One. This is an interesting weekend for us because of the national games remaining. Of course, last night was the Thursday game. The Sunday night and Monday games normally come from Westwood One, except this week the Rams are on the airwaves on 1430 on Sunday night against Tampa Bay, so we'll have the Ram broadcast for you. And the 49ers host the Panthers on Monday night, so we'll have the 49er broadcast for you. And that, of course, is Major Wager Monday, which means Carter and everybody at Me and Ed's Victory Grill, Cedar in Dakota, Granite Park. Great conversation going on around there, the terrific food, the atmosphere, the giveaways, and a very, very important game for the 49ers, who right now are in the playoffs if it started at the moment, but with the Lions and a few other teams right behind them that figure to be very formidable by the time the year ends. 49ers are going to have to keep on winning or they're not going to make the playoffs. For the Rams, a lot at stake because the way things are structured right now, at least in my opinion, if the Rams can find a way to rest home field away from the Eagles or anybody else in the NFC, and the Super Bowl, of course, number 60 is in San Francisco, in Santa Clara at Levi's. The Rams have a chance to not have to leave California once you get to the playoffs, that they can be that one seed. And I think if the Rams are the one seed, as long as they stay healthy, they may very well put up another Super Bowl title. So a lot at stake. Tampa Bay is a good team they're in. That's a 5:20 kick on Sunday and a 5:15 kick for a Major Wager Monday. Stop by again, Me and Ed's Victory Grill. Check out the 49er game. Grab the great food of Me and Ed's, the giveaways and everything. Granite Park, Cedar in Dakota, Me and Ed's Victory Grill. Get there by 5 o'clock on Monday. The other reminder, scheduling-wise, Phil normally 3 to 6 Monday through Friday with his fine show Behind the Bench. You can always reach him on the Lee's Air hotline, which is 559-320-1430. We bring up our guests through that line. Also, Phil brings up callers from the general public. Paul Metters, who will be with Phil tonight for the football game at Collegian, has two fine shows. Sunbird Sports Show on our sister station, the Deuce 790, 6 to 7 on Wednesday evenings. Again, all about Fresno Pacific Athletics. And then Saturday mornings, 10 a.m. to noon on 1430, the long-running show, Central Valley Sports Report. Check that out again tomorrow morning, 10 a.m. to noon. We are with you at 2 o'clock each and every weekday. You can reach me, tdad1 at att.net, tdad, the number one at att.net. First names are fine. I'll get the emails the best I can. JJ, thanks for your email about San Diego State. It is amazing every time the Aztecs get in financial trouble, the state comes riding to their rescue. We'll see what they do with that $26 million debt. I guess they haven't been able to sell enough of those prime luxury seats at Snapdragon. That's why I'm saying, as much as you have an outstanding defense in San Diego, I wouldn't mind at all the Bulldogs having to travel there and getting one more shot at the Aztecs for the championship of the Mountain West, if that were to eventuate in a couple of weeks, simply because you're not going to have a tough crowd against you. The Aztecs themselves don't have a great following down there right now, so the energy isn't an issue, and I don't think a lot of people are going to come out for the games. And it gives you a chance, if you can just stay in the game, then maybe this time push across a couple of scores and maybe win a game that got away from you at home. We'll see. Right now, as we talked the other day, if you were to tell Bulldog fans you're going to go to San Diego in 2 weeks to play for the title, they'd say, we'll take it, because there's so much uncertainty, particularly if Fresno State wins the last two and still finds UNLV or New Mexico through the metrics pushing Fresno State out. We'll see how it plays out. But for the Bulldogs right now, it's just win, baby, and we'll tell you more about that before we skate on out of here. The final reminder, everything for the station, 1430 ESPNFresno.com. You find the live links and podcasts there. Still working on the live link. The podcasts are up. As soon as the live link is back up and running, it will be there. I know I've heard from a lot of people about this. Switched over some things from analog to digital, and hopefully we'll get this thing sorted out in a big hurry. Anyway, thanks to Ed Dunkel, everybody at Precision Civil Engineering, for allowing us the time to tell you about the schedule for both 1430 and 790. Speaking of allowing the time, I want to thank Joe Cruz, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply. He allows me the time every day to tell you how to donate to Fresno State. Joe, a longtime friend, longtime sponsor, and we really appreciate everything he and his fine business do for us. Again, anything you need in regard to pipe fittings, valves, sanitary fittings, food-grade chemical hoses, suction hoses, all there under one roof, 4529 North Marty Avenue in Town Suite 103, or you can give them a call at 266-7473. That's 266-PIPE. More information on the web, superiorpipeusa.com, or Gabe Works for Joe has a direct email, gabe.sbs@gmail.com. If you're working around a valve in any way, shape, or form, it might be a plant or maintenance person, could be a tanker delivery service, a valve anytime going down can be catastrophic for your business if that's what you rely upon for your productivity. What Joe can do for you, if you have a problem, contact him. He'll analyze things, give you a same-day estimate, same-day service, and get you up and running if you've gone down. If you're starting to take on water, he can go ahead and solve that for you in a big hurry before it becomes a problem. Either way, give him a call, 266-7473, or stop by 4529 North Marty Avenue in Town Suite 103. A very family-friendly atmosphere there. And when Joe is done helping you out with your situation business-wise, if you have a few minutes, he'll tell you what he has done as a benefactor for Fresno State now for three decades, as he celebrates the 25th anniversary of his outstanding business. And he will tell you the best avenue right now to give to Fresno State. Go to the main website at GoBulldogs.com. There are two links there at the top that are very important. One is donate. The other is NIL. When you hit the donate link, it takes you to different areas of donation. BulldogFoundation.org is there. BDF celebrating its 75th anniversary right now. Also, you have Myers Champion Circle there. You have the Green Bee Society right there. You have a lot of other links for giving to sports clubs. I'll go over that in a moment. But you also have the Valley Co-op, which is critically important to the long-term success as everybody gets involved. And you have businesses that feed off of one another here. So check out all of those links when you go to the donate part of GoBulldogs.com. And then as far as those sports clubs go, that way you can have your money go directly to the sport you choose. For instance, quarterback club for football, timeout club for men's basketball. Jack Furtick with me on Wednesdays to talk basketball. On the board of directors of the timeout club, Jack has said you can call him directly on his cell for more information about joining the timeout club. That is 559-287-3305 or his email, FurtickJack@AOL.com. Also, links are there for other sports, for instance, Dugout Club for baseball and other men's and women's sports as well. So that is, in a nutshell, the best way to give to Fresno State right now. Also, click on that NIL link. It'll tell you what you can do. If you have a donation, big or small, or a sponsorship idea, the university wants to hear from you. So I want to thank Joe Cruz, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply, for allowing us the time to tell you how to donate. Thanks again to Ed Dunkel, Precision Civil Engineering. And I also want to thank our friends at Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing, not only for the Lee's Air Hotline, but the fact they allow me the time every day to tell you about the weather. Right now, it's the same old, same old. It's going to be foggy. It's going to be in the low 60s or high 50s, and the lows for the overnights in the mid-40s, that's what leads to fog. So 57 today, 58 tomorrow on game day, 60 on Sunday, 59 Monday, 57 Tuesday, 60, 62 right to Thanksgiving Day. It is a typical forecast for this time of year. When it burns off in the afternoon, it's really pleasant, as it burned off today, the way we'd like to see it. But particularly middle of the night or daybreak, look out for the fog. And if you're in the outlying areas, please be very careful. If you're on the freeways, you know, there are times then you have to stick your head out the window to see what's going on in front of you. I think visibility was down to about a tenth of a mile last night. So we all grew up with it. Just be very careful. And again, thanks to everybody at Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. You can always reach them. 825-5337, which is 825-LEES, or leesair.com on the web. Also, again, want to thank everybody at the local KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. And thanks to all the sponsors for allowing me to move things around for Brian's schedule on Fridays. All right, last note, as Phil is coming up and then the great high school football matchup, keep in mind, again, tonight, 7:30 FS1, that is where you will find Hawaii and UNLV. It would be a real good idea for the Rainbow Warriors to win the game tonight. And then tomorrow at 4 o'clock on CBS Sports Network, the critically important Mexico Air Force game. That is the lead-in to the Fresno State game at 7:30, also on CBS Sports Network. Green V salute, the white and green uniforms tomorrow, the whiteout, everything. Senior night, a lot going on, and the Bulldogs need to win. We'll talk about it on Monday with Paul. Have a great weekend. Phil is coming up on KFIG Fresno.